Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Deb Wolf. And today I'm looking at the plaque on my wall, and it says, "If you only knew what your horse thought of you." That's what my plaque on my wall says, because a lot of times I think people don't realize how annoying they are to their own animals. Today we have with us a special guest. Her name's Heather Green, calling from California, where, oh, they're complaining of the 60 and 70 degree weather. Yes, they are. So welcome to the show, Heather.
Well, thanks for having me, Deborah.
Okay, and your new book, For the Love of Horses, what's that all about?
Well, it's just about what you said. I'm so glad that you have that plaque on your wall, because I wrote the book as a way to help humans understand their animals better and really understand the thoughts and the feelings and the desires of their animals. Really is what inspired me to write the book was my calling into this field of animal communication. I started several years ago, was previously working as a nurse and a counselor, and the horses called me into it. So it's all about my journey and doing this work and what the animals taught me along the way and the messages that they wanted me to share with their humans.
So, okay, so you were working as a nurse of people, of humans?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so you were working like in a hospital or something like that?
Yeah, I was in a hospital for a while, huh? Yeah.
Okay, so how did that lead you to horses? I'm not following the
the
chain of events here.
Big.
Can you take us back?
I can summarize it. You know, basically I started dreaming about horses, and it was the dreams were so profound that I couldn't just think, oh, it's just a dream. I had to figure out what it was they were trying to connect with me about. You know, it's like they had something they wanted to tell me, and I couldn't figure it out from the dreams. So I just jumped into the world of horses. I started taking workshops, classes, learning how to ride, and basically in my experiences with them, which I had none previously until this time, they opened me up into the world of the intuitive world, and psychically I was able to pick up on what went on in their lives, what they wanted to say, what they were feeling. They also taught me how to work with energy, and that's how I started doing energy healing as well. So it changed
okay,
my whole
so
life.
The horses are reaching out to you, and I'm just trying to get okay, so does a horse put a word in your head or a story or a picture? Like with dogs, sometimes they put a picture.
Cats,
sometimes they give you a command.
Think a lot in pictures, and often I'll see a picture of either something going on in their life or something they want to share with me. I do have words pop in as well, thoughts. I feel physical sensations in my body, and I also feel emotions that they have going on, and that's kind of how they communicate with me. Mm-hmm.
So there you were, still working as a nurse and trying to get your horse fixed, doing, you know, paying for lessons and hobby type stuff. And you're all of a sudden actually getting, like, the horses you don't even know that well, that you're sort of random horse of the day, is trying to tell you his story. And your head's full of his thoughts. Is this what's going on?
Absolutely, you know.
And if he has a pain in the leg, your leg's now hurting, or that kind of thing?
Sometimes like that, yes. I remember
life's
one day.
Life's not simple for you, is it, Heather?
What's that?
Life isn't simple for you,
no,
is it?
No, it's not an everyday life kind of thing. I know. It was completely life-changing for me. I mean, I'd always been open to that kind of thing, but not to the extent that it came flooding in for me. Yeah.
And okay, so you start getting these messages, and I guess you walk over to the person who runs the barn or the horse, and you say, hey, by the way, Lily over there has a sore muscle, or Joey, the one I rode last week, how's his gas doing? And they look at you like you've got two heads. Is that what started happening?
Right, exactly. It was like two heads. It's like I could connect to their mind. I could feel their story. I could feel what was behind that. You know, a lot of times I'd go home after spending time with them, and I was doing a lot of meditation, and suddenly their head would pop up in my head. It's like I would see the picture of their head, and I was like, oh, this horse wants to say something. I figured it out. It didn't happen right off the bat. And then they would tell me things, even about the day that we spent together and things that they wanted to relay to me, like one horse who thought the water was too cold that we were bathing him with. We didn't know why he was so upset. We were trying to ice his knee, and he ended up telling me the water was so cold, and he had been bathed in that water, and it freaked him out, so he wanted nothing to do with water after that. You know, messages like that would come in later on.
That's so specific and so targeted. Mm-hmm. That's really cool. This kind of makes me... Are you a Trekkie? Do you ever watch Trek movies, Star Trek?
No.
Okay, then you didn't see this. You missed this one. This Vulcan character, Spock, in this one movie where they go back to Earth, all the Trekkies listening, this is the one with the whales. So Spock, he's a little bit brain damaged. He's not quite himself. And all of a sudden he goes missing from the group, and they look into the tank, and he's in this aquarium tank with these basically now extinct, except for these few animals, whales. And he's in this tank in San Francisco, this giant tank of whales. You're not supposed to be swimming with the whales. You're supposed to be taking pictures on the other side of the glass. And he's swimming around with them. And when they try and pull him out of there, he has this startling revelation for everyone. The whale he's been touching is pregnant, right? And, you know, how could he know that? Well, she told him. That's how he knows. He's a Vulcan, though. He does mind melds. What you're telling me is you do Vulcan mind melds with animals, and you're a human. That's pretty impressive, Heather.
That's a good comparison.
That's pretty impressive. Well, how do you shake the pain? Like, say you touch an animal that's really got cancer or something horrible, and then you feel it, too.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of it so it doesn't hurt you?
Well, that's good for people to know, because we all can be empathic in that way and feel each other's pain, even in not being aware of it. But I do a clearing for that. You know, every time I do a session with an animal, or even in my everyday life, because I'm so sensitive, I pick up on a lot of the thoughts and emotions of people around me, you know, my family members, friends, people I work with. So I clear it. You know, I work with my guides, my spirit guides, who help me with my work, and I use energy to clear all of that out of all levels and layers of my being. So I don't take that on. I make a conscious awareness not to take it on to help, but to not take others' stuff. You know, they have to learn from it. They're learning something from it. And so I'm helping them in that process, but I'm not necessarily taking it on myself. Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break, Heather, but I want to come back and ask you, how can people use what you've learned themselves? How can I, and most of us don't have horses, so how can people touch their dog or cat, or look at their dog or cat, and really know what their dog or cat needs or wants?
Yeah.
So we'll be back after the break to have Heather Green tell you how you could be Dr. Little, how you could talk to your animals. Coming up next on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're near,
when it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 33955. Put your pet on the path to good health.
And I'm your host, Deb Wolf, and with me is Heather Green, and she's going to help us, well, talk to our animals, speak to them, hear what they're thinking, and send messages back. Okay, Heather, that's a big job for you to do for all of us who don't know how to do that. But how do we start?
Well, and it is complicated. I'll try to put it in a nutshell. You know, I do teach classes about these things, and I also have it in my book, For the Love of Horses. I talk about how we can do this, break it down into steps, which you can access, by the way, on my website at www.tealhealing, like the color, T-E-A-L, healing.com. You can buy my book right online, and I do travel to do workshops all over the U.S. But I will say here that you can simply send messages to your animals telepathically, which is mind to mind. So if you can envision the thought or the picture of what you want them to do, or if you have a question, you can form that in your mind. And through your imagination, send it into their field or their bubble, their space, and they will receive that information. Now, to get a response back, you need to be in more of an open, receptive stance. So I always tell people meditation is a good place to start because you tend to be more open. But if you've never meditated before, just find a way to take a couple deep breaths and get relaxed, get grounded into the earth, clear all the mind clutter off, you know, get that out of your head for a moment. You know, I always envision sending the angels or guides any extra thoughts that are kind of lingering up there, get them off out of your head so that you can open up to receive what it is they want to send back. And they may send that in the form of a picture, a word, could come in as a physical sensation, an emotion. Even colors and symbols tend to come in for people when they begin to communicate with their animals. But that's in general.
Okay, I have a cautionary warning here. When I've done this before, quite a lot of the time, and this is pretty disgusting, I get the taste. I say, what would you like, or what do you want, or what do you need? And the animal gives me bacon or meat or fish. And I'm just like, oh, no.
Oh, that's what they're wanting to eat, probably.
That's what they want to eat, yes. But I don't want to taste it.
Right. Yeah. That happens. Some people have that clear taste gift. You know, we all tend to have a certain gift psychically. So we lean towards that area. Like, I'm more clairvoyant than anything, so I tend to see more in pictures, but I do feel and sense all the other psychic ways as well. But many of us have one particular gift that we're stronger in, so we'll tend to get the information that way from the animals.
Oh, that's interesting. You know what? I didn't think that. I just assumed that dogs, you know, they're really into tasting stuff, so that's why they're sending me that message. I didn't realize that was just my flaw, that if I was a different person, I would pick up the smell of bacon or the sight of bacon rather than the taste. But I don't even eat some of the things that they send me these, and it's just like, oh, no, I don't want tripe, you know, or chicken necks or raw eggs. Like, oh, thank you very much, you know, so be careful what you ask. But when I've tried to do it with cats, it's kind of hard. When I try to do it with dogs, the results are really easy to see. The easiest one for people to try is without putting on your shoes or giving any other cues, like picking up a leash or putting on your sloppy clothes, without doing anything that would tip off your dog if your dog's a detective. Just think of yourself. Look at your dog and then just, or close your eyes and just picture walking him. Picture taking him to the park. Picture the word walk. Picture the sound of the word walk.
Imagine
saying, do you want to go for a walk? Just like that. But don't say it. Don't move. And watch what your dog does. He's going to get up. He's going to stretch. He's going to yawn. He's going to start to do his little prancy thing. He's going to go to the front door. He's going to stare at the leash.
Yeah.
Now you have your proof.
Exactly. If you ask requests, you'll see when they follow suit. And I will say that you can say it out loud, because animals do understand a lot more words than we know. And if they don't get the words, they get the energy behind them, I find. So they'll pick up pretty quickly. So what I often do is say the words and picture things in my mind, or the thoughts or the word or a color or whatever it is that represents what I want them to do. Or if I have a question, I'll do it that way as well.
You know, when training dogs, a lot of times people will say the correct words, like off or come or sit, whatever they're working on. But they'll think at the same time and picture in their minds exactly what they don't want.
Yeah.
Like as they're saying off, they're thinking, I hope he doesn't jump on me. As they say come, they're thinking, I hope he doesn't take off. So they may say this word that the dog knows or doesn't know or doesn't care to know right now, but the picture they just sent that dog 200 yards away was of a dog taking off or a dog jumping up. And that's what the dog gets. So they don't really understand the word no when you think it. You got to think of the image you actually want. Wouldn't you say that's kind of the way to go, Heather?
I would agree wholeheartedly. I always tell people, don't focus on the negative, what you don't want them to do. Focus on the positive and tell them what you do want them to do. So don't say, don't poop on the floor. Poop in the litter box, you know. Instead, tell them where you want them to go to the bathroom, or when, what you want them to do and how and when, and don't go into the negative part, because that throws them off, and then they will focus more on that energy. So, yeah, I agree.
I think I want to read your book, For the Love of Horses.
It's a fun one. It's all about how I got into this, too, and it's a real inspiration for people to follow their calling, because it was a big life path turning event for me to just go into this other field, and I had no idea where it was going to lead me, but it's paid off tremendously, and I'm happy in what I do, and I get the fulfillment that I need from it. So it's awesome.
You know, about a year ago, maybe even more, for All Paws Pet Talk Radio, I interviewed a woman named Laura Cook, a nurse who does healing on humans, but also on pets. And primarily her work had become specialized at the time, because she was so good at it, in helping people get rid of their pet allergies and helping pets get rid of their allergies and all the things connected with people and pets. Anyway, I really want you to find her. Go online and find Laura Cook, because I think you two could really connect. There's something going on here with the energy. And she also helped me figure out, she did it on the air, actually. She did a reading of me. And found out why I was so called to animals. And I'd love it if she could do that for you, because, oh man, you've got the gift, Heather. Thank you so much for sharing it with the All Paws Pet Talk listeners.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So everybody, if you want to find out more about how to talk to your dogs, your cats, your horses, how to read them, how to send messages, or how Heather got into this in the first place, it's For the Love of Horses. For the Love of Horses. And I think you gave out your website. Can you do it one more time quick, please, Heather?
Yeah, my website is www.tealhealing, and that's teal like the color, T-E-A-L, healing.com. And you can also get my book on Amazon. If you just type in For the Love of Horses and look for Heather Green, that's my book, and you can find it online and on Amazon, too.
Thank oh, for the so love much. Of horses. It sounds like a curse. Oh, for the love of horses.
Oh.
It's great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and have a good Christmas and a safe holiday.
You too, Deborah. Thanks again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So, everybody, we've got Dr. Carol. Of course we do. Because, well, you know, she and I have been going steady on air now for quite a while. We like to meet every week and solve your pet problems. Send us your pet problems, anything medical, behavioral, anything at all. We'll find the expert to solve it at All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We're going to go to commercial, and we'll be back with Dr. Carol. And my first question is from a listener who wants to know, first of all, is he becoming a crazy cat man? And also, do all cats have 16 freckles and 16 whiskers per side? Please, he wants us to solve this because he wants to stop counting the whiskers on the cats he meets. Stay tuned. Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Does
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust, mites, and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's pawsandsilk.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Talking on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And it's Deb Wolf and it's Dr. Carol already joining me. And we may have stumped the good doctor. Dr. Carol, say it isn't so.
Well, thank you so much, Deborah. I'm delighted to join you today with all of your pet-loving listeners.
Yeah, but I think we've stumped you. How terrible.
Well, you've got a funny question. 16 freckles and 16 whiskers. I'm going to let you elaborate on that.
Okay, so we get this email from this guy, and it's a long email, and he's trying to figure out if he's gone mad and if he's a crazy cat man. And lately, he's been going around to unsuspecting cats in his neighborhood, and when he visits friends, and even at work, because there's one at work, counting the sides of their faces. He's counted his own cats. He has two. But he thinks he might get another now that he's enjoyed this little expedition so much. He wants you to tell him, so far, every cat he's looked at or counted has 16 freckles or spots with 16 whiskers coming out of them on both sides of the face. Now, he's sort of understood that there's the occasional cat he's counted because he's in the 30s now of cats he's counted. He wants to stop counting, but he can't seem to do it. And he needs you to tell him, is it really 100% of cats that have 16 whiskers per side? Or should he keep counting, looking for that one cat with a different number, sort of like a four-leaf clover on a lawn, which he confesses he used to look for during the summers as a boy? I think this guy has OCD, never mind crazy cat syndrome.
Well, this gentleman definitely has an obsession with freckles and whiskers, and I can honestly tell you that I do not actually know, nor have I ever learned, if there are exactly 16 freckles and 16 whiskers per side on each kitty's face, but I would say he's done a great job, and if he wants to further his research, perhaps he can give us an update if he happens to find one kitty that doesn't meet the 16 twice.
Oh, no, you're encouraging the poor guy. He's looking for relief. He wanted you to put an end to this. And now you're telling him to continue on. In the name of the show, find out for us. Oh, no. Oh,
find out for us and get back. Call us back and let us know if you have determined that this is a fact on all cats. And in the meantime, I'll do a little bit of homework on my side and we'll have an answer next week.
All right, now maybe we can help him out even more. Maybe we can get the All Paws Pet Talk audience, because half of them have cats, maybe more, to count the freckles and whiskers on their cats, don't you think? And send us an email and tell us what you got. Tell us what you got. If you have a different number, and we're not talking a broken or bent whisker that's just missing right this second. I know that's a bit tricky to tell. But if you have a different number, if you have 18 whiskers, you've got a different number. Tell us a little bit about your cat. How old? What kind? You know, give us the lowdown. Because you may have a cat celebrity. You may have the four-leaf clover of cats. And we want to know about it at All Paws Pet Talk.
Absolutely. And if we find that cat that does not meet the 16 and 16, what we will do is offer something very special to that person that calls in with that kitty. Will offer a nice 30-day supply of some wonderful cat vitamins called Paws. We'll ship it out to you complimentary from All Paws Pet Talk.
And I bet if that cat person sends us a good cute picture with the face showing lit up and the eyes facing the camera, we can probably get you on Cat of the Day, petoftheday.com. I bet we can. We got an in there, don't we? I think we can arrange
Absolutely.
That. Okay, everybody. So we do have some more emails. Somebody asked me to ask you, what is your scariest dog experience ever as a veterinarian, Dr. Carol?
Wow, my scariest? Well, that is a great question. I don't know if it was the scariest, but I would say it was a case that pretty much seemed like there was absolutely no hope, and it turned out a whole lot differently. Does that sound like that would fit the bill?
I think this person was more referring, because in the preamble he said, is a veterinarian more afraid to face a pit bull or a Doberman, a German Shepherd? It was like a whole, you know, two dogs over one would... He was trying to figure out what you're most scared of that way, in terms of biting you, I believe.
Well, quite honestly, as a veterinarian, I'm not scared. And for people that are, I don't recommend being a veterinarian. And that's an important thing to remember, because if you are frightened, which many of us can be for all kinds of reasons, especially if it's a big, powerful, frightening-looking dog, you're better off not even to walk in the room, because dogs have that sixth sense, and they know if you're afraid before you even open the door. I can say certainly I've seen some dogs that I've been apprehensive about. Absolutely. I've worked with many dogs that are less than friendly, some that are really less than friendly, if you will. And in cases like that are kind of extreme, we usually work these things out with people prior to bringing the animal into the clinic so that we make the experience as smooth as possible, if you will.
If you've got a hard dog, a difficult dog for the vet to examine, you should be listening right now, because don't come in when it's urgent and critical as the first time you're trying to deal with this. Go in now, today, for no reason at all. Right, Dr. Carol?
Right, and make an appointment with a vet. Become friends with a vet so they understand you as well as your dog, and you can prepare... make a little protocol for when you're coming in, be it a regular appointment or an emergency, so that handling the dog is not a problem and doesn't sort of blow up in your face, if you will. There's a lot of ways that it can be handled, but planning that out beforehand has worked well for me in the past. There are things that you can give to your client, mild sedatives, for example, that they can give to the pet prior to coming in. I had one client who actually lived very close to our clinic. The dog was just so afraid that it almost became vicious, if you will. And what we did with that dog, it took us a few tries to figure it out, is we had the gentleman walk into the room with his dog. We gave him a noseband. He sat in the room alone, put the little noseband on the dog, and then with no conversation or noise or activity of any kind, I would simply walk into the room, and he held the dog properly. I was able to administer a sedative intravenously, and then within a few minutes, everything was fine. We were able to work on the dog and then, have his owner take him home so that everything was taken care of properly without further ado. And I really think, having worked with many dogs that are less than friendly in my experience, having some kind of a little plan or a program to address cases like this is a wise thing for any and all veterinarian to do, because certainly there are all kinds of aggressive dogs out there that you know, might want to take a nip out of you. Or in many cases, the dogs are just so frightened that that's the recourse that they choose. So,
okay,
you know,
so we only have 1 minute left till we have to go to break. We're going to come back and talk about some other topics, and I'm going to get Dr. Carol to tell you how you can reach her if you've got some advice or questions. But I do want you to send me your whisker pictures to All Paws Pet Dog Radio and allpawspetdog.com. And, well, we'll be back with more from Dr. Carol for sure. But I want to say, if your dog isn't off the scale crazy with fear and aggression when you go to the vet, if he's just a little uncomfortable, a little nervous, take him. Give him a treat when you're there and leave again. Do that a few times. Just diffuse the whole experience so it becomes a normal, calm, happy thing. When he's really calm about it, goes in and out and doesn't even care anymore, then ask one of the receptionists to come around and give him a treat you've brought with you. That kind of thing goes a long way. All right, we'll be back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf and, of course, the good doctor, Dr. Carol.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Has your life gone to the dogs? Are you at your wit's end? We can help. At America's Canine Academy, our specialists can put an end to the mutt mayhem and magically stop the destructive behaviors that your crazed canine has developed. We offer step-by-step guidance and make-sense techniques that will turn your problem dog into a calm, stable, and well-behaved companion. And we can even do it all by phone. Even from afar, we can assess a dog-gone-wrong situation and help you recapture your sanity. Call 877-WE-WHISPER, americascanineacademy.net, where dog whisperers are trained.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I'm talking with Dr. Carol, reminding her, I'm hoping the sponsors are listening because I really want a pair of those. One of the fake balls as bookends, ball bookends. I really want them now that the neutering and the whole system is going to be. Yes, noodles. That's what you call them. Now that they won't be neutering dogs anymore, they'll be giving them injections instead. I guess they won't need fake testicles. So I would like a pair for bookends in my dog office because I think that's appropriate. Or maybe hang on the back of my car. I've seen those. Dr. Carol, what do you think about what I said at the end of the last segment about taking your dog to the vet when there's really nothing wrong and you're calm and the dog's calm and happy, happy, go on your merry way? What do you think about that? Is that a pain for a veterinarian or is that okay?
No, I think it's excellent. And one little tip for dogs that are apprehensive about coming to the veterinarian, a lot of that apprehension comes right back to the owner. If the owner makes a big fuss over going to the vet, then the dog or the cat, either way, will know that the owner is so concerned and so preoccupied with what is about to happen. By the time the pet gets to the vet, the pet is completely exasperated because they don't know what their mom's been so worried about. So they're very worried. And the reflection is, you know, a behavioral situation. The best thing a pet owner can do when you're coming to the vet is just make it an everyday situation and don't think twice about it. And if you just relay that to your animal and have a very calm, cool head, no worry, no fright, your pet will think of it exactly the same way. So the best thing you can do is just be nonchalant. And if you're nonchalant, your pet will be nonchalant. And a lot of these behavioral issues and fear and urinating and defecating when we walk into the veterinary office will be eliminated, because you'll be happy and confident, and so will your pet.
That's so true. When you're afraid of the bill, or that your pet might be really sick, or whatever it is you're afraid of, that he's going to misbehave or pee on the floor, he doesn't know that's what you're afraid of. He thinks you're afraid of that vet. When the vet, the most powerful person in the room, walks out, that's the person he's going to focus his energy on protecting you from, which is not cool. So you got to be calm. And so go often when you're relaxed. All right. So we have a caller, Dr. Carol. We have Deb on the line with a min pin. Welcome to the show, Deb. How can we help you?
Hi. Yes, I had a question. I have a min pin who's about 8 years old, and I just discovered that she has little scabs on her lower right-hand lip. And I was just wondering what causes that and how can I treat her from home?
That's not uncommon. There's all kinds of reasons that pets can get those little scabs on their lips. Allergies being one of the top reasons. If you're feeding from anything that's plastic or rubber, you might want to switch that to stainless steel, ceramic, or glass, and that would pertain to rubber balls and toys and things like that that are made of rubber or plastic. They can be very irritating. You can take a warm cloth and just sort of try to wipe those scabs off, as long as it's not going inside the mouth. You could put a little aloe vera on there, just something, you know, very soothing. If after, you know, 3 or 4 days you're not seeing a resolution in that, then I think it would be wise to just go to the vet and let him take a second look. But in my experience, I've never seen scabs on the lip and anything worth worrying about at all. Usually just very little minor allergic.
Is there some kind of cream, like would polysporin be okay? Like if it's all scabby and icky, is there something she can do to make it feel better?
I mentioned the aloe vera. You want to be careful about what you're actually putting topically on the lips, because okay, the first thing that's going to happen is the dog's going to lick it and then ingest it. You know, so certain things that have those petrolatum bases, I don't really think that would be in the best interest of the dog. But just something, like I said, the aloe vera, you could clean it with a little betadine, blot it dry with a little alcohol and water. You know, would be fine. But as far as putting actual medications on there, I think I would sort of not really be crazy on doing that, because everything you put on that mouth is going to, on the lip, is going to go right into the mouth.
What about something like a Benadryl? Or is that not necessary? Like, or if it flares up, should she know maybe what dose Benadryl or something like it she could use? If you're saying it's allergies, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, usually when you're reaching for something like a Benadryl, you're talking about a systemic allergic situation, that, you know, where they're itching and scratching and biting at their whole body. When you have something localized to one side of a particular lip, it's usually whatever that side of the lip is actually coming into contact with, toys and food, you know, and just household
items. Oh, I see. So you've been like a detective listening to her. What about a cedar bed? Could that do it? Because I've had quite a few short-haired dogs react to cedar beds.
Yeah, cedar bed is a classic allergen. And again, you'll find dogs itching, licking, and scratching generalized all over the body. Okay. But it would not cause just scabs, if you will, on the lower lip. The other thing that's real common is a lot of dogs, they kind of have that big canine tooth. And they sort of bite their lip every time they chew, because it just gets in the way. And I don't know if that's the case with this particular little dog or not, but it is the case with many other dogs that I've seen.
What about that, Deb? How's your dog smile? Does it have that kind of problem where the lip gets caught?
No, she does not. But thank you. So this has been really helpful.
Is she pretty?
She's very pretty.
Aww. Will you send us her picture?
Yes, I will.
Oh, right on. Okay. Well, we'd love to see her picture in All Paws Pet Talk, and maybe she'll even get Dog of the Day. Hopefully, we'll have a before after, maybe. Are you using plastic bowls?
We are.
Oh,
oh, there you go.
So you nailed it. Aha, mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Localized allergic reaction from direct repeated contact.
There
and
you
it
go.
Would just... be a wet saliva kind of a time, and it's not a place with a lot of fur, so I could see how that would be a problem. Oh, la la, she wants an upgrade in her bowls. No
there
plastic
you go.
For fancy minpin girl.
And just get a stainless steel bowl or a glass bowl. Take a little cotton, a piece of cotton gauze that's wet, and just rub it across his lip a few times to loosen those scabs.
Okay.
If you follow me. And then, like I said, if you have a little aloe vera or something, just put it on there. But if that's all it is, it should just go away. 1, 2, 3. No fuss, no muss.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Deb. Hey, what's the name of your little minpin?
Nikki.
Nikki the minpin. Isn't that nice? Aw. Well,
you'll have to give us an update.
Thank you, I will.
All right. Oh, we only have 2 minutes left, Dr. Carol. So before we lose any more time, would you please tell them how to find you?
Absolutely. I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. We are here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, a little bit east of Cleveland. Our toll-free office phone is 1-866-DR-CAROL, and that's 866-372-2765. We welcome pet questions for dogs and cats and also offer pet health consultations. And you can visit us online at carolonpets.com. And for anyone that might live in the Cleveland area, we are opening our new integrative center of health for dogs and cats right here in Chagrin Falls this coming Monday.
Well, I saw a good news story. I know we have to go to break right away, so this is just a quick one. But I saw it on TV. It was showing these Chicago firefighters, and they were like waist deep in this frozen river and on this boat and doing their best to save an elk. I never saw something so sexy in my life, Dr. Carol. Now that's a firefighter calendar I want to see. Firefighters saving animals. That's my kind of calendar.
Well, that sounds good to me. I wouldn't mind seeing one myself.
There you go. All right. Well, I saw a picture like that once. It's probably staged, but it's a shirtless firefighter carrying a kitten out of a burning building, you know? Yeah. All right. They know how to get us with these calendars. All right. Stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. We'll be back with something smart with Dr. Carol and Deb.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, tastes great, I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait, I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, this is Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and I am still laughing, and we have got to stop talking during the breaks because this is just too funny. We're just discussing the pitfalls of a home veterinary practice or a home dog training practice where you actually go into people's homes and, you know, where you get there and the guy's on the couch and, oh, I didn't know you were coming. I didn't mean to be naked. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dr. Carol knows all about that, but she has a bite story. Tell me your bite story.
I do. When I was first a veterinarian, as most young veterinarians, I had lots of knowledge and no money. So I started out making house calls. And I had a gentleman that was my little assistant on the house calls. And I went to this woman's house and we were working in her living room. And she had a little gate, so she had a couple of dogs, and we just started working, you know, on the one dog. And she had, I guess, the other dog was, there was like a little gate. Well, I can't remember exactly what we were doing to the one dog, but it, I think maybe taking a blood sample, perhaps. And the fellow that was helping me, his name was Robbie. And so he was bending over to hold off the dog.
Did this guy die on this particular story? I hope not. What do you mean his name was Robbie? Uh-oh.
The dog winced. The dog's buddy jumped the fence, ran into the room, and landed his teeth right into the backside, if you will, of my assistant, who proceeded to drop the dog, scream, "That dog just bit my you-know-what."
He bit his bum? He bit his butt?
He bit his bum big time.
Was and, it bruised or did it need stitches? How bad a bite was it?
Didn't need stitches, but it was definitely bruised. And the moral of that story is that as a veterinarian, I have learned to work on one dog by him or herself at one time so that we don't have any unexpected surprises.
That's interesting. I could totally see that happening. Yeah. Also, I see some dogs, boxers and standard poodles in particular, will do that in play. You bend over and they'll bite you in the bum. But it's more like a pinch and it's not meant to hurt. It's they also tail pull other dogs' tails to get them to chase them. So it's kind of a little bit of a quirky play technique, but not at all good. You can train it out of them because nobody wants a nipping dog. Nobody wants
right.
to be no bitten in the
wants-
bum.
Yeah. And remember that, you know, dogs, even though they're not brothers or sisters, they're living in one home, they're a family and they're best friends. So if they think their buddy is in trouble, believe me, they're going to come to their friend's rescue.
Well, and not to mention on their turf, you know, whenever you're visiting somebody
yeah.
and their dogs, you don't, if there's food on the ground, ask them to pick it up. Because if your kids are crawling around the ground and there's dog dishes on the ground, that's a recipe for disaster, even if the dog is nice and trained. So
yeah,
really, like, it's home turf.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, you know, a little bit of thinking beforehand, helping new graduates that might not have that experience, always control your environment. Things will work out a lot better.
You know, I don't do house calls anymore. People have to come to me to get training. I rarely, sometimes for someone in a wheelchair or something like that, I'll go to them. But I make them come to me now. So those days are over, thank God. But we did have an email question asking you, when you're in your vet clinic and you see your you know, diary for the day or the list of who's in which room, and you see, you know, room one, pit bull with sore foot, room two, multi-poo with bad eye. Room three, a German Shepherd, unknown, old. You know, who is it? And this is what the emailer wants to know. He wants to know what type of dog is it kind of like, oh no, not that again? Or is there any breed that's more likely to bite you or give you a rough time? Is what his question is.
Well, in general, the breeds that are listed under aggression would fit that bill. In order, you start with your pit bull, and then you've got your Rots, your Dobermans. Some people might put German Shepherds on that list. I love German Shepherds. I've really never had a problem with a German Shepherd.
I think that's because you love them. You're so hitting the nail on the head there. You love them. They know it. Why would they give you a problem?
Well, that's a very good point. But something that this gentleman might not be aware of is that in my experience, these big, tough, aggressive breeds, usually they're really not the ones to watch out for. The ones to watch out for in many cases are the tiny little pocket pets that you just wouldn't think twice about. And because you don't think twice about it, they're the ones that'll turn around and give you a little surprise when you least expect it.
Yes, you see, I noticed that the dogs I've seen become blood donors are often those types you just named. And you got to be really tolerant and sweet and lovey to put up with that. And I also noticed from my own experience, I had this one Rottweiler with this horrible mass on his throat because he'd been really badly trained with shock collars previous to my meeting him. And years and years later, it became a source of pain and problems and post bunch of surgeries, but at any point, at one stage, he used to have the vet drain it. And you knew it hurt him. It was really sensitive and it was full of liquid. And she would come and she would stick this giant needle in his throat. And he would allow her to do this, you know, like really. He loved her, you know. So I think sometimes these big dogs, if they decide that the vet is part of the pack and part of your circle, and they'll let them do anything. Whereas my blue healer, God Almighty, taking her to the vet, oh, you'd think you brought a pet pig the way she would scream over nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like really, nothing. She was hysterical. And I was the same person, just as calm as I always was. Honestly, he just even picked up her paw and she'd start screaming. So is that a normal blue healer thing or was that just mine?
More than likely, that was just an experience that you personally went through. I've seen many blue healers never had an issue, but you know, but again, every dog is an individual, and you really can't say, well, you know, this is a big aggressive dog and that's a cute little lap dog. Each dog, like each person, is an individual. And in many cases, to be honest with you, the little smiling house dogs, those are the dogs, if you pick up a leg or grab a paw or whatever it might be, that are very sensitive. And if they go, ooh, or they make a little wince, then the owner makes a huge wince. And then that just makes it twice as difficult for the veterinarian to do his or her job. And that's
so we got to stop interfering with the diagnosis. Got to hang back a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, and that's...
You know,
and that's,
my healer came to me with a long history, so it's possible that things went wrong for her at the
sure.
vet before I ever met her. It's very possible. Yeah.
And,
we only have 2 minutes left, Dr. Carol. What do you want to leave people with? Because we won't talk to them again until next week.
Well, I want to tell people that for most parts of the country, U.S. and Canada, it's pretty chilly outside. So brush up on your wintertime pet IQ. Remember, antifreeze is deadly to pets. A teaspoon can kill a cat. A tablespoon will kill a dog. So check your radiator. Check your antifreeze. Make sure there's no spills. And put those bottles up high out of paw reach. Remember that salt and caustic chemicals outside are very irritating to your pet's paws.
Hose them down, right? Get them clean.
Buy a pair of booties or hose them down. Remember, pets need extra food and extra water. In the winter, you need extra food to make energy so that you can stay warm.
And that the water doesn't freeze. Oh, we only have a few seconds left on
right.
Carol.
And remember, rat and mouse baits, they are placed outside a lot more often in the cold weather. They're made out of peanut butter. They smell good and they taste great. So be careful where you place them. Save your labels. And if your pet gets into one, drive to the vet. Vitamin K therapy. We'll take care of it. Not to worry.
Okay, everybody. Well, until next week, be good to your animals. From Deb Wolf and All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and of course, Dr. Carol. And anytime.